everybody. So we are so excited today. This is the Hallmarkies podcast.
And I'm Rachel.
And I am here to talk with the first executive vice president that we've ever talked to. It's pretty fun for the Up Network. I'm talking with Amy Winter. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. And so we're really excited about Up's slate this year. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to the position that you're at?
Sure. Always loved television. I think I went to school knowing I wanted to get into television, but I wasn't sure what area. So in the early years, I started making the promos for programming. I worked for TBS for about 11 years doing that, and eventually rose to be creative director. And I was creative director there when we rebranded to the whole Very Funny era, which was a lot of fun. And after that, I spent about almost a decade at with the Discovery Networks at TLC primarily. And I started in marketing there, and then I eventually became head of the network there, and I started a bunch of shows that you know they're still on the air right now, which is really great and really fun. And then from there, I moved back to Atlanta. Up is actually located in Atlanta, and that's where my primary residence has been this whole time. And I've been with Up for about 5 years, and I've really enjoyed working on a brand that is really committed to putting uplifting and positive content out there that, you know, entire families can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really impressive. So what did you go to school to work in media, or did you just?
I did. I majored in communications. You know, at that time I felt like everybody was really focused on getting into the film business, but there was a part of me that went, that sounds like you're going to spend a lot of your time, you know, moving from job to job. And I was really nervous about it. I thought television really seems like you could get a steady gig. So I'm going to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Like you just pushed your way to more and more higher up positions and until you got to be executive vice president. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would say I've been very fortunate. I've been lucky, and I've had some really good timing, you know, just in terms of some of the opportunities that have come my way. Uh-huh. But I've also been, I think there's a thing about people being curious about how the next thing works, and that hopefully never ends. And so I've always found that once I've gotten a bit of a mastery with something, I'm like, well, wait, what's going on over there? Mm-hmm. and layering on all the other things. So it's been a really fun journey. I continue to learn every day. Mm-hmm. So who knows what's next, right?
Yeah. Wow. So how do you feel that Up TV is trying to differentiate itself from the competition and in its own unique, brand?
I would say that our brand is fundamentally designed to entertain the FIM audience. We call them FIM, but they're the family in mind audience. There is a very particular type of viewer that we're talking to. They're very concerned about what comes into their home, and most of them probably do have children in the home, but not all of them do. Mm-hmm. But that commitment to, you know what, I'm particular. I want a good product. I want to put something on my screens that I feel comfortable with. We're here for them. They want content that they can feel good about watching. It's not to say that they won't watch other things. You know, we've got our fair share of Real Housewives viewers who watch us as well. Yeah. Or you know, the dark stuff too. But there are just moments where, you know, I don't know about you, but there are moments where I look at a really dark show and I'm like, not tonight. I can't do that tonight. I want something lighter. I want something a little bit more meaningful. I want to celebrate life and people. And that's what we're in the business of doing and committed to doing. We do our programming primarily for women, but we've seen a lot more guys coming to our audience as we've grown, especially as we've added shows like Home Improvement. But everything that we produce is designed to entertain the adults first, but hopefully the adults understand that this stuff is great for the entire family to watch together.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking to Gordon Holmes, the journalist, Gordon Holmes, and he said that his dad is like a hardcore Heartland fan. Heartland. And so it is surprising sometimes that, at least before I kind of started down this journey, that I never would have thought that there would be so many men interested in this type of programming.
I know we've been so pleasantly surprised and excited by the growth that we've seen on that side. Uh-huh. You know, I think that it's an interesting mix of programming that we've put together. You know, we've got everything from these, you know, scripted movies that we have scripted series, and then the reality shows that we create, alongside mm-hmm. snack food, you know, funny snack food, whether it's AFV or Whose Line Is It Anyway. And I think that balance has really been what has been drawing more men to our channel as well.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. So when you're talking about films, or I guess shows, how do you get, if you have like a slush pile of different scripts and different things that you have, how do you decide which ones that you're going to want to acquire or develop or all of that?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that we're pretty choosy in terms of what we're looking at. You know, we do about 7 premieres each Christmas season, and we want to make sure each of them adds a little bit of a variety to the collection. For the romance lovers out there, we've got plenty of those. But even in some of our romances, we try to add a little bit more of the reason for the season and bring a little bit more meaning to what we do. We have often chosen projects that have been based on true life stories because they're fairly powerful during this Christmas time. And we've also chosen things from you know, pretty outstanding novels. But I think they have a little bit more weight, you know, in what we're doing. And really, we're trying to get to the core meaning of in spirit of Christmas.
Mm. Yeah, I really enjoyed last year the one, A Christmas Princess, I think is what it was called. The
Right, A True Story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a really good one. I talked to the writer, Tracy Andreen, about it, her experience in writing it. And I just thought that it had such a nice heart to it. I particularly loved that moment where, because she's so insecure that they're going to like give her away. And when her dad says that, you know, our hearts would be broken if we lost it, that scene really got to me. That was really touching. And so I think you definitely nailed it with that one for sure.
Yeah, it was a beautiful movie, and the writer was fantastic. She is a wonderful human being, her whole family, and the way that they supported her. We were really excited to add that one.
Yeah, she is the best. I loved interviewing her. But yeah, that one I really liked, and I'm excited for the slate this year. We've already seen the Christmas Switch, and I thought that one was really solid. I really enjoyed it. I mean, we liked it enough that we reviewed it.
I love that.
And I love like body swapping movies, or like some of them drama, some of them comic. I just think that's a really interesting idea of like walking around in somebody else's shoes and having to kind of figure out what they are. And the truth is that I felt like somebody was making a movie from my head, because a couple of years ago I did NaNoWriMo, and I did a book called, I called it the Holiday Switch, and about in my version was a single girl and a single woman and a stay-at-home mom. They end up switching places because they both kind of idolize each other's life, and they're kind of jealous of each other. And so Santa makes them switch places. That was sort of my take on it. But I was like seeing this movie as somebody's in my head. This was my idea. But this was really fun. And I thought we were kind of concerned that, you know, they're both married. Like, this is going to be a little weird. So how are you able to kind of figure out that dynamic?
We said the exact same thing because we were like, this is one movie where there can't be any romance because that's super weird.
Yeah, exactly.
So I believe that one husband had to travel during the time frame, and the other husband, she complained that her back was out because she said, well, I sleep on the couch when my back is out. So that was how we kind of got around it. But if you want, you know, thank you for reviewing it and thank you for watching it. But I think the husbands did a pretty good job with are you who I think you are or not? What is going on? You know?
Yeah. I think so too. And I thought the ladies did a good job.
They were amazing.
Playing that part of being in the other woman's part, you know, the other woman's body. Like that's gotta be tricky, but I thought they pulled it off. They were funny. And, there was some nice heart to it. Like none of them, I hate in these kind of movies when the career woman is turned into the ice queen of business. I just, it's so frustrating. And I liked that didn't happen with this one.
Yeah. I don't know that you necessarily always have to have a villain or, you know, to have a more complex character. And what I do love about those women's performances is you could clearly see their switch, you know, definitely changed. But to have enough depth between them and an understanding of what each of them are going through, you know, they were both stressed out. They were both dealing with a lot coming at them. And for them to be able to realize during the switch, wow, I really had some amazing stuff, but I couldn't see the forest for the trees. And same with this woman, and I'm going to help clean up her stuff over here while she's doing that to mine, you know?
Yeah.
It's really supportive. And that's why the script just really resonated to us immediately.
Yeah, I agree. Because the one who's the record executive, it would have been really easy to make her kind of a one note character, but I liked it because she's not like trying to be a bad mother to her daughter. She loves her daughter, but she just thinks, oh, well, she's really independent. She doesn't need me. She's actually kind of insecure. And so when the switch happens, she realizes that her daughter needs her a lot more than she kind of thought. And, but that she still has to go to the appointment. She still has to meet with that guy. And, so, you know, it's like both things are important. Neither one is like a bad choice. And then the mom character with the little girl character, I liked how, you know, her thing is she just never can say no.
Yes.
To anything. So that's what they kind of learn from each other. And I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a really good job. So good one to start out.
Thank you so much. I mean, you just checked off all the reasons why we felt like we should do it. And I do think that there is this dynamic, you know, it's that classic age old thing about when people talk about working mom versus stay at home mom, which by the way is still a working mom. You know, I always, whenever I leave work, I'm like, time to go start my other job, you know, but, but I think that, you know, what I hope that that movie showed is that, there's wonderful stuff and there's difficult stuff, no matter what you do, you know, no matter how you choose to live your life. And the people at the center of that are lovely human beings. So in this past season or this past Saturday, we had the fifth installment of the Chandler family series that we that we do annually, which was really exciting for us. So,
oh yeah, you want to tell us a little bit about that? There's the fifth
one. Yeah. I mean, the first movie that we did was just a really fun movie about three strong African American sisters who have, you know, spent their lives, they absolutely adore the Christmas season, but it's about all of them coming together. And one of the sisters' daughters is coming into town, and she doesn't want to be given a hard time about the fact that she's still single. So she, you know,
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
She pretends that she has a fiance, and
everything
ensues from there. But what's really great about this is probably, you know, our biggest ensemble movie that we do. People really embraced this family. We adore this family. And so we went from Marry Me for Christmas to Marry Us for Christmas to Merry Christmas. Wait, no, the next one is A Baby for Christmas, then Merry Christmas Baby. And then this time it's Chandler Christmas Getaway. Their family name is the Chandlers. And we embraced, this is all shot in Atlanta. Uh-huh. The fact that we're in the South, so they decide to get away when Atlanta is not feeling Christmassy at all because it's a gazillion degrees. We're having a heat wave during the holiday. So
that sounds really fun.
Yeah,
I love the whole fake fiance trope.
Right,
they're so funny. It's like the most ridiculous thing I would ever happen, but I love it.
I know, it's funny to think that that's the thing that started it off, but I mean, it really did, and it just kind of took off from there. And I'm with you. I mean, I love the trips. As you can imagine, we get quite a few scripts. You know, I brought a stack home for Thanksgiving to go through.
But you
really do want to, like, oh, what's the shorthand on this one? Oh, okay, I got it. This is the You've Got Mail, or this is the this, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is the baking one.
Yeah, that must be overwhelming. What do you think makes one of those really stick out to you? Something that's like original or something that, I don't know, like how do you decide?
I think there's a certain amount of filter that we go through. One is, you know, you're trying to balance your slate and make sure that you've got a really eclectic mix of, that they'll all hang together.
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to go with a trope if it's really well written. If I've been surprised by the way that it's been executed. And we've got some of those where you're like, oh, I know what this is going to be. It's sort of like when you watch a movie and you know, like the ugly duckling's going to go to the prom and you're like, well, you know, I'm going to have to sit here for 2 hours because I got to see what she's going to look like.
Yeah.
So there's some of that. And then, you know, like I said, we're really combing through. I felt like Christmas Switch was really unique and different.
Uh-huh.
And anything else that really, catches our eye. We've got one coming up called, Christmas on Holly Lane. And that is about three lifelong friends who really band together to support each other through some fairly difficult times for all three of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Christmas Catch, we've got Christmas of Prince and there's a ball at the end of that one. Which I'm like, oh, of course I'm hanging out for this. This is terrific.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a mix.
Yeah. That's really cool. So this Christmas on the Coast, it's kind of unusual to have a Christmas movie, not in the winter and not in a winter location.
It is. Yeah. It's been, and we're trying two of them this year. We have had a few in the past. We've had one set in Beverly Hills and one set in Palm Springs. Uh-huh. But, you know, so much of the country isn't necessarily, you know, snowbound during the holidays. And we just felt like, you know, let's break these out of the pack. And you know what? They might do really well in a Christmas in July stunt too.
Oh, yeah. Smart. That's smart. Yeah. They have Christmas other places, like goodness grief. So that one, I think looks pretty interesting.
Yes. Yes. It's got a definite Southern vibe to it, which we really sparked to.
Mm-hmm. So how do you decide on casting? What's that process like?
You know, it's a mix. We love trying to find some new talent in this, obviously. And I think that we've got some really incredible folks that really catch our eye. And when we see some folks who really, deliver, you know, we're trying to work with them again, whether it is with other projects or potentially sequels to what they've done. A great example is we did our biggest Christmas movie last year was called A Very Country Christmas.
Yeah.
So we might be working with my press person's going to kill me because we haven't announced this movie yet, but there might be something coming out with that cast in the future. Oh. We try to do some fun, you know, get some fun personalities that people recognize and love in there. You know, Christmas with the Prince, we were so excited to get Charles Shaughnessy from The Nanny in as the king.
Who doesn't love him? So excited.
Yeah, and he's perfect in the role. So, so that's been a lot of fun. Sarah Lancaster, you know, she's been in several of our other movies, even our non-Christmas movies, and she's just terrific performances.
Yeah, I love The Nanny. I'm like one of the world's biggest Nanny fans. So when I saw that, I was like, yes. My real dream, if you want to really make me die, is if you had Fran Drescher in a movie, because I love her so much, but I love Charles too. So that's going to be really fun.
Writing that down.
Yes. Oh my gosh. If you're looking for ideas, Amber and I have so many fantasy movie ideas.
Perfect.
But yeah, so the only thing about the Christmas with a Prince is that, so he's like injured at this hospital, right?
Yes.
The Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it said, I think it said that he was her high school crush. So this was just like the way people sort of idolize, say, like Prince Harry or something like that. That kind of thing, or did they actually know each other in some way?
They knew each other, and he was friends with her brother, and her brother is actually in the movie as well. So her brother is the one who they call after he injures himself. He breaks his leg, but he also has a concussion, and so they don't want to move him too far. So they work a deal with her brother, who goes over his sister's head to the head of the hospital to say, hey, I think he might, you know, give us a generous donation if we were to, you know, make accommodations for him. And she did know him. She had a massive crush on him, but he sort of didn't even give her a second thought at the time, or so she thought.
So how did she live in that kingdom or whatever it's called, country?
So he was vacationing in the U.S.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. Cause I'm like, I don't know if I'd call sort of your teen idol. I'm not sure I would call that a crush, you know? If they actually met, that makes more sense.
Yeah. They went to boarding school together when they were kids.
Okay. Interesting. That'll be fun. And so the Christmas Catch you have coming up, this looks really fun, detective kind of element of it.
Yeah, it's really fun, and it's really well written, and the cast is so much fun. This is a really nice ensemble. The lead, Emily, and I can't say her name, Alatalo, I think, Alatalo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He she is fantastic. And I love that back in her background, she's actually a stunt double. So, you know, this is probably the most authentic running and stunt work that you've seen from in a Christmas movie. I was like, wow, I wish I could run the way that she runs. So, but it's really a lot of fun. Lauren Holly plays her mother. And
along with that,
and Yannick Truesdale from Gilmore is one of her besties. But yeah, she meets a guy for the first time in a really long time, and has a spark, and is kind of falling for him. And then the FBI rolls into town and says, "Oh, there's a new guy in town, and he's a suspect in a major heist." And they find out that she has this connection to him, and encourage her to go undercover so they can figure out whether or not he really has the goods or not. So it's really fun.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm definitely excited for that. Christmas on Holly Lane. This has a ton of our Hall stars, we like to call them. but yeah, Sarah Lancaster, she is in one of my favorite Hallmark movies ever, Fur Crazy. I think it's really good. And she's the best. And then it has Giles Panton, who we love, and just Karen Holness is in it. We love her. It's a really great cast.
Yeah, when we got this script in, Karen Holness was actually one of the first people we thought of, because we worked with her on Date My Dad. Which was a scripted series that we did and absolutely loved her on. She just had such a range from the comedy to the really poignant, you know, storylines that we had in that show. So she was pretty much the first one that we chose when we started working on that project. And Sarah Lancaster, we worked with on in particular, the one I love is Love Finds You in Sugar Creek. Which is we did a series of these movies kind of set in the Amish world. This was the first one, and she is really outstanding in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the Amish one that you did this year. I think it was Runaway Romance.
Yeah,
that was really good. I liked it. I thought it was really sweet.
Yeah.
And I think that it was good because you didn't turn the Amish characters into like super judgy or super quaint. Like, they were real people. I think that's hard to do. I think that for any portrayal of religious characters can be very tricky. It can be either, I don't know. I just feel like it usually sort of swings one way or the other. And like, it'll either be kind of horrible and judgmental, or they'll be like naive kind of. I don't know. I just thought I thought that you did a good job with that one, with characters that felt like real people.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I do think that we have a lot of projects that would appeal to the faith community, but yeah. I think the thing is that you don't have to, you know, be so on the nose.
Yeah.
People know how you feel and where you stand by your actions and how you see life. You know, we have a reality show that we do called Bringing Up Bates. And, you know, if they end up praying in you know, their everyday lives and in a scene, we'll certainly show that. But you don't need that to know that they're a family of faith. And that they're good people, and you know, they have a certain way of living that bubbles up from their faith. So I appreciate that you say that, because I do think that there is oftentimes the tendency to gild the lily when you have a minister or a person of faith in your movie. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, you just want to make a well-rounded, interesting character, and not just a form of ministry or a form of preaching kind of thing. That's just, that gets very tired for sure. So yeah, there you have Hometown Holiday coming out.
That's a very fun one too. You know, we just, you know, I kind of think of the attraction of Gilmore Girls and Stars Hollow. This is a project where we looked at, like, what if there was this, you know, little small hometown community, you know, where the girl isn't fired and going back to her small town community, because we do that one a lot, right?
Yeah.
But we start there, and this is about two sisters who own a business together and have a pretty strong bond. But you know, the it's a small town. Gossip runs very quickly, and what's fun about and there's not a lot of people coming in. What's interesting about the way that this movie starts is that one of the local gentlemen who is known fairly well. His son has recorded him and playing a song about his, you know, his deceased wife and missing her and wondering whether or not it's time to love again. And his son puts it up on YouTube and he goes viral. And so the catalyst for this new guy coming to town is to try to convince this viral sensation to sign with him. When he's been absolutely resistant to everybody up until this point, because he's just not interested. And also just so happens that his sister lives in that same town. So he's got a good ruse for coming in and trying to get to him without coming in as a big LA agent. So it's a lot of fun and very, very, very sweet movie.
The only thing that we were disappointed in, I guess, is that Kevin McGarry is not the romantic lead, because we love him and we think he's so handsome.
He is so handsome, but see, there's that another thing where it's an opportunity for a sequel.
Oh, yes. Because a lot of these movies we wish, because in, you know, like romance novel books, they'll that's how they do it. You know, they'll have the first like couple, and then the next book will be about a different character in that first book, but it'll be there. And like the original couple will just make like a cameo in that second book. And it's sort of like the Fool's Gold books, you know, with Susan Mallory, they each book is just about a different couple within Fool's Gold. And I feel like none of the networks have really sort of embraced that. And we would love, I think that would be really fun to do, you know, have more of a spin-off kind of serialized kind of idea, I think would be really cool. But even just a sequel, it'll be really fun. No,
I agree with you, and I think that we have taken a look at these movies along the way and tried to see where the opportunity was to extend the story or shift to the other characters. I think that Wes's storyline is definitely one we could pick up and run with, whether they stay in the small town or if he actually does end up going to LA and what that's going to do for his life and his kid.
Oh, that's exciting, because yeah, he is the best. We love him. So then you have Gilmore Girls, More the Merrier, and this is going to be every single episode of Gilmore Girls in
week, all right? 153.
Amazing. And when's that going to occur?
It starts this Monday at 3 p.m.
What do you think is special about Gilmore Girls?
You know, it has been part of our programming strategy has been to ignite that Gilmore Girls audience with other content. You know, they have a rabid fan base. And it is a unique type of show that is family friendly, but equal parts drama and comedy. And if you think about it, that's a rare breed out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely was talking to adults first, but you know that moms sit down with their, you know, teenage daughters and watch that show. I know, you know, I used to work with my head of scheduling back at TLC. This Gilmore Girls was his screensaver. Like, he adored that show. Mm-hmm. You know, it just has this fan base because it checks so many boxes on entertainment and heart and humor and meaningful family connection. When you try to find other shows that complement that, it's pretty unique, you know? Date My Dad was a show that we created because we thought, you know what, let's do another dramedy. And I really think we delivered on that with that type of show. They are a rare find when you can find them.
Yeah. I think that Emily Gilmore is one of the best characters on television. Like, she was brilliant. And she's a character that is easy to sort of judge, but then as you get to know her, you realize that there was just such depth to her character. I think a lot of that goes to the performance, but also the writing. I think Amy Sherman Palladino is pretty brilliant in
masterful
her writing. Masterful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's kind of similar, I think, to her and Diablo Cody, I think, have a similar feel in their writing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and it just comes at you so fast. It's just, she really is remarkable. I'm so glad to see her continued success in everything she pretty mm-hmm. much touches. But
yeah.
But we're really happy to have Gilmore as a marquee piece of our content.
Cool, that's great. I am curious. You worked as an executive producer in the different roles for these different reality shows over the years. There were a ton on your IMDb. And so I was just curious, what is that like, and how sort of planned are these type of docuseries type shows? Do you kind of have like a, we're going to have them do this today, or is it just depend on the show, or how does that all work?
That's a great question. I would say that we try to be as authentic as we possibly can. Uh-huh. But there's some things that, you know, are impossible to do without pre-planning. You know, you have to get permits. So say somebody wants to go to a restaurant, or we want to go to, you know, an amusement park and we want to film there. You know, you have to have enough advanced planning and get the permitting and all that stuff so that you're ready to go and your cameras don't get kicked out. But what we like to say is that stuff is planned, but what happens there is truly up to the talent that goes. You know, mm-hmm. we're not saying, hey, make sure you say this or make sure you do that. It's really about what's going on with them that we try to follow. Yeah. So that's that. You know, formats are different, you know, and a format is everything from like the a cooking show to a house show to Say Yes to the Dress. You know exactly what you're going to get. People who decide to be on a show like Say Yes to the Dress knows what they're going to get, but we don't know what dress it's going to be, you know, that uh-huh. And we don't know how that appointment is necessarily going to go.
Yeah. Interesting. That's really interesting. And you guys have the Bates currently on Up, right?
We do. The Bates we are currently filming their eighth season, which goes on the air in January. Mm-hmm. And kicks off with it's chock full. There's a vow renewal in that, a really touching vow renewal between Zach and Whitney. Mm-hmm. And that show just continues to grow in audience. They're very much beloved by their fans. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we have shows in what we call the Life's Biggest Moments category. We realized that, you know, with the Bates family, part of what people love coming to see are these big moments, whether it's mm-hmm. babies or weddings, engagements, what have you. And so we decided to start a whole strand of shows where we focus on those moments themselves, but we get to see a whole bunch of different people going through those moments. So we started with Expecting, which I don't know if have you gotten a chance to check out Expecting?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, so we're filming. We're actually. I can't say that we're filming, but we are in production on that now. The reason why I can't say we're filming it is because the couples actually film these shows themselves, and that's what's so amazing about it. Is, you know, to your point about production, with, you know, pregnancy, the journey to pregnancy being basically 9 months plus, you know, depending on if you have, you know, if you're trying and not succeeding, you know, a film crew might drop in four times along the way. You know, they'll come to your shower, or they'll come to the, you know, the birth or what have you. When you and your significant other are recording it, you get every single moment. You know, mm-hmm. from the pregnancy test and is it positive or negative, to the middle of the night stuff, to the, you know, your husband filming you and you saying, get that camera out of my face, and they don't. So it's been the most amazing and intimate show that I feel like I've ever been a part of, because it's just so real.
Because 9 months is a pretty quick, you know, turnaround in some of these things, but like, how do people know to contact you, or, you know what I mean? How does that work for something like that?
When we first started to just try to see if we could do this or not, we did take a look at some folks who were already actively posting about their pregnancy journey on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And so we started some of those with working with some of those couples midway through their, you know, the process. And then more people became aware of the show as we did that. And then the first season premiered. So we have a pretty robust casting team that has, people are sending in their request to be a part of the show. So it's now fairly fluid that we're getting quite a bit of casting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's great. Well, so this has been really fun, and we like to end our interviews with some silly questions. And this is our Christmas or holiday version of the silly questions. So I'd like to do that. So, all right. So what is your favorite holiday drink?
I have to say, if it's holiday related, it's got to be eggnog. I absolutely love eggnog. And if it comes in a latte, I'm happy with that too.
Okay. Nice. All right. So what is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Years ago, I learned how to make these toffee cookies that it's a layer of toffee, and then you put Hershey bars on top of it, and then some nuts on it. And that is my favorite thing to make, because it's super easy. And it's really just about a conduit for serving up a Hershey bar to everybody.
That sounds yummy.
It's really good.
Yeah. So what is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Wow, that's a tough one, but I think Let It Snow might be my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one. All right. What is your favorite Christmas movie? It doesn't have to be TV, it can be classic.
Yeah, I have to tell you honestly, and I have a movie poster hanging in my house, but it's got to be It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. It almost transcends Christmas movie. It's just, yeah, it's great.
It's about so much. And I cry like a baby every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know there's some people who are like, oh, it's so over the top, and, you know, like the world just falls apart without him. But he needs to be that way. That's by design. Because if Clarence shows up and he just shows him the world is basically the same, then what would that do? So it needs to be over the top so that he's compelled to change.
Yeah, I agree. And and honestly, isn't it okay? Like, wouldn't everybody want to feel like they had that kind of impact?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that their loss would be that significant. So yeah. I'm on board.
Me too. That's funny. So, okay. What is your favorite holiday tradition? degree or something like that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, for Thanksgiving, since it is Thanksgiving week, one of the things that we started with the kids really early was we make this poster of a turkey that sadly doesn't have any feathers at the start of of November. But we cut out feathers, and then each day they write down something that they're thankful for on a feather, and then stick it on the turkey.
That's so cute.
Yeah, yeah. And so by the end of it, and so I've got one saved from every year just to see, you know, what phases they've gone through. Because sometimes, like, you know, they're thankful for Star Wars, and other times, like, I think my son just wrote down that he was thankful for physics right now. I'm like, okay.
<You're> like, wow.
But yeah, you can see what they were really, what was on their minds each year, which is kind of fun to look back at. Uh-huh.
Cool. That's really cute. I like that tradition. Okay. Let's see here. What do you have a memorable Christmas gift that you've either given or received? Like, do you have your Red Ryder BB gun kind of moment growing up or with your kids?
Oh, wow. I think probably what's weird is that my dad was a commercial pilot when we were growing up. Uh-huh. And so we were fairly fluid on the holidays because a lot of times he would be flying. And so our Christmas might be on the 28th or the 31st, yeah, depending on when he was home. But to me, the most memorable Christmas gift was when he would all of a sudden be available and our whole family would go somewhere, you know, for Christmas. And it was just this bizarre experience as we got older and, you know, we felt like presents weren't necessarily something that we needed to have, that it was more about the experience. So I've got these great memories of being in Miami on Christmas Day randomly and trying to find random food and, you know, just a lot of those things that were out of the norm are the things I think I really remember.
Do you prefer Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Okay. And clear lights or colored?
Colored.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Are you a good, would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
If I have the time, I'm a good gift wrapper. If I'm rushed, you're not getting a ribbon.
If I'm rushed, it's usually a gift bag.
Yep. Exactly.
So last question, do you have an ugly sweater? What's your ugliest Christmas sweater?
I do. It's kind of plaid. And then I just bought my kids some awesome ones that they were trying to pull out today for something that they had to look fairly nice for. And I'm like, I don't think that they intended you to wear this stuff to school today for this singing event that you're doing.
That's funny. Yeah, you gotta love the ugly Christmas sweater as well.
Mm-hmm. So, I got my sister one that is the periodic table as a Christmas tree. Oh, nice.
That's funny. So there you go. You passed the test. The questions. And this has been really fun. It's really interesting to talk, I feel like it's sort of got a behind the scenes kind of look. And so hopefully we can do this again. I really enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, I would love to. And I really enjoy your podcast and hello to the other ladies. But it was a lot of fun. So I'll be back.
Great. That's what we like to hear. So do you have social media that you'd like to share or just the Up social media, whichever you like?
Yeah. Well, Up TV, is, you know, we have a, Facebook page, Instagram, all that stuff. And if people go check that out, they'll get our Christmas schedule. We'll be very engaged. The team is caffeinating for Gilmore the Merrier. So on Twitter, we usually trend all week on Twitter with Gilmore, hashtag Gilmore the Merrier. So there's prizing hourly, there's trivia, there's, you know, and there are some grand prizes along the way. So please engage with hashtag Gilmore the Merrier.
awesome. So yeah, if you're a Gilmore Girls fan, you definitely want to check that out for sure. So thank you so much. This was really a delight. And if you guys, if you're listening, let us know what you think. If you got to see the Christmas Switch the new films, let us know what you think. And you can put that on Twitter or in the comment section. And if you can make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, all over social media. And if you leave a review on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media. And thanks again so much, Amy. This was really fun.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel.